That's probably the best way to phrase it. It is 7:45. Tom Ackerman joins us for our weekly chat. Newbold BMW Toyota Sports Desk. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, morning, Scott. Yeah, they definitely survived. There's no doubt about that. Missouri wins at 30-27 in double overtime over Vanderbilt. And have they lost that game, that's going to be tough to come back from unless they pull an upset at Alabama. They have a tough game at Texas A&M. They have Oklahoma at home. But those are really their three most challenging games on their schedule. You could not afford to lose to Vanderbilt. I mean, you have to beat Vanderbilt. And they find a way to do it, but it was shaky. And I thought Eli Drinkwitz, after the game in his post-game interview with SEC Network, said it appropriately when he was asked, what did you learn about your team today? He said that we have a long way to go.
Sure, and it's an SEC game. Always conference games are tougher. One thing that stood out to me was maybe the defense in the first couple of games against lesser opponents was so good. Was this a sign that maybe the defense is getting figured out a little bit, or it's just the level of competition?
I think that their quarterback for Vanderbilt is very tough. He's a New Mexico State transfer. He's really, really talented at escaping tacklers, and I thought that Missouri's defense showed that it has a ways to go, but he's a tough one to predict, I think, where he's going to go with the football. So it's not your classic drop-back passer. I think they're really good getting in the kitchen of those types of quarterbacks, and maybe not so much with a mobile quarterback like that, and that kid can throw too. I think on the other side, Missouri's quarterback was shaky. Brady Cook did not look like himself. He really hasn't so far this year. He throws a dart, however, to Luther Burden on the first play of overtime to tie the game, and then eventually they find a way to win because they grind it out. They put the ball on the ground. They find a way to run the football, and Brady Cook will get it back. But right now, he's got too many talented people around him. He'll succeed. I think that Missouri, though, has some huge challenges ahead. I mean, the fortunate thing for them is they have a bye week now to kind of catch their breath, get healthy, and figure out a way to go down to College Station and beat Texas A&M. That is a tough road environment. They're going to have to play a lot better than they did against Vanderbilt, a lot better to have a chance to win that game or any of those others that I just mentioned.
That Luther Burden kid, man, he looks like an NFL receiver to me.
He is an NFL receiver, yeah. No doubt. They've got some good receivers. They've got some good running backs. I don't know that they realized how good Cody Schrader was, maybe. I know they did, but Schrader was able to get some big chunks of yardage for him. But then that Noel has 199 yards. They have a nice-looking team. Burden is a special player, and anytime you have him healthy and on the field, advantage you. But we're going to see how good Alabama is next week. They're going to take on Georgia, and I think they might well beat them. They have a very, very fast team. Their quarterback, Milroe, has tons of confidence right now. And, you saw what they did up in Madison. They look tough. They're going to come home and play Georgia, which will be a classic matchup, and you'll get a good read if Missouri can get by Texas A&M, what sort of challenge they have ahead at Bama. But if they want to play with the big boys, if they want to be a college football playoff team, they've got to be better than they were yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of people will drop them out of their predictions as to who will be in the top 12. I'm not sure that any of the experts at this point will put Missouri in. I think some of those computer rankings that I mentioned earlier might have them up there a little bit, although when those get updated later today, we'll see where they are. But that could be fuel for Missouri too. I mean, sometimes Missouri plays its best, and I would have to think that Eli Drinkwitz will pump them up to say that they're underdogs again. That's when they sort of feel like last year they were disrespected. Well, we'll see. They're 4-0, and now they'll have to prove it all over again.
Well, Mizzou won in overtime, and so did Illinois in a tough road environment in Nebraska on Friday night. They're 4-0 as well. How good is this Illinois team?
I think they're very good. I think that's a great win for them. They went into Nebraska, a team that is playing well, and you talk about a tough road environment. I mean, that's one of the great places to see college football in America. And their quarterback, Illinois' Luke Altmyer, throws 4 touchdown passes. I mean, that's a very, very tough place to win. I don't care how highly rated Nebraska is, and they were 22 going into the game. They're going to be bumped out of the top 25 now, but they're on the rise for sure. Matt Rhule's got them playing well. But that's a team that has been kind of in the making for Brett Bielema. He said it at the start of the season that he was excited about this team. They felt like they had some playmakers. They really needed to replace any issues they had on the offensive and defensive line, and they look like they're controlling it pretty well. I mean, they still have a ways to go, I think, to be their best. But that was a really good win for them. They win in overtime, and they're winning close games, Scott. That's the important thing. You know, Illinois could have been a bowl team last year, but they blew some close games. This time around, that's not the case. They came back. They beat Kansas, who lost in a close game yesterday to West Virginia. And then they win this one. They win a close game on the road against Nebraska. They're not letting these games slip away. And I think that Illinois has, you know, just like I talked about Missouri, they've got some challenges ahead. I mean, you look at Illinois' schedule. They're going to go to Penn State on Saturday night. I don't have to tell you, that's one of the hardest places to play, and Penn State is sitting there right now as a top 10 team. They'll get Purdue at home. They'll get Michigan at home. They go to Oregon. You know, they have some winnable games on their schedule, and I think they could end up having a very nice year when it's all said and done.
Texas looks really good. Obviously, even though their starting quarterback, yours, goes down, it just so happens that the backup is Arch Manning, the grandson of Archie Manning, the son of Cooper Manning, the Manning family. And I saw a stat where he ran as fast as Tyreek Hill on one play. And yesterday, obviously, they beat Louisiana Monroe 51-3. But he's impressive, too, that guy.
Yeah, he's an exceptional athlete and a very smart quarterback. I think still, though, young. And when you look at, you know, who they have to play and all that kind of thing, you know, we've seen him so far against nobody. You know, we saw him again. I'm not discrediting how good he is. He could end up being a Heisman Trophy winner, but, you know, maybe not this year, but he could end up being one. UTSA and Louisiana Monroe, I mean, that's mm-hmm. nobody. So they're overwhelming the competition. But we'll start to see now. I mean, they're going to play Mississippi State next week, and then they go to Oklahoma, and then they host Georgia. You know, and so Texas is going to have its hands full. And, of course, that last game of the year at A&M is always fun. We'll see where they are there in terms of their quarterback health and all that good stuff. But, yeah, Texas is legit. All you have to do is look at the whole body of work. Michigan's a really good team. I mean, they found a way to put the ball into the hands of their running backs and grind out that win over USC yesterday. It shows you that Michigan's still kind of hanging around, because USC is an exceptional football team, Scott. I mean, they play really well on both sides of the ball, and Michigan handled them. Texas went up there and just destroyed Michigan. I mean, just absolutely destroyed them. Texas, to me, is a legit number one. Not far behind, though, either Georgia or Alabama, which we'll find out next Saturday. And let's not forget about Ohio State. I love this Ohio State roster. Now, they've played nobody as well. Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall so far. But they're just, you know, getting their feet under them. They're tuning up for what is going to be that gauntlet of a schedule in the Big Ten. It always is. Got to stay healthy. But Ohio State, with Chip Kelly calling the plays, I really like that team a lot. And when I look at the top 25, my legit national title contenders right now, you got to take the top four: Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. I think Ole Miss is fun and exciting, and I'm very curious to see how they handle the big spotlight when they have some of their marquee games. Obviously, look out for Tennessee. They looked terrific yesterday. I think Missouri will fall back a little bit, but we'll come back and maybe put a signature win up or two. I think the team that people will start to buzz about, Scott, is Miami. Miami's path is clear now. They're the kings of the state. Florida State and Florida have fallen off. Miami has prime position here in the ACC to do some damage as well. I like that Hurricanes team a lot. So it's going to be fun. You know, the great thing about college football right now is that you have a 12-team playoff. That keeps a lot of people engaged. It gives teams a lot of hope, and you're going to get 12 really good ones. One of those will be a non-Power 5, and guess who might get in there? Barry Odom, the former Missouri coach in UNLV. They're good. And so, you know, watch out for that as well. It's going to be a fun October, November leading into that.
Well, we have 1 week left in the baseball season. What should Cardinals fans be looking at for these last few games?
Well, we got a game today, and I'll be over there today, and I was there last night, and I just love watching Jordan Walker have fun. He hits another home run. He's playing every day. I love watching Yvonne Herrera have a good time and some of these younger players develop. And that's really what you want. Finish strong, reconvene this offseason, try to figure this thing out, because 2025 has to be a winning slash playoff season. You can't do this 3 years in a row. But at the same time, the Cardinals need to develop players. They have to draft and develop, and they have to create pathways for these young players to succeed. And it looks like they are doing that here at the end of the year as they are out of playoff contention. Very rare that you have a Cardinals game where they're not in playoff contention. But
right.
This year has just been one of those off years again, and you can't let this happen again. The fan base is too good, too deep, too loyal. They'll have to do something to keep them engaged and ready for 25.
What do you have sports on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock?
Lots of that. Ollie Marmol at 10:15. We'll talk to the Cardinals manager. John Mozeliak at 11:30, their usual spots. But how about this? Gibson Jimerson, the three-point specialist, is going to join us. Outstanding guard from SLU at 10:30. Bernie Miklas at 10:45. 11:05, we'll be joined in studio by longtime news anchor Julius Hunter. He is going to be with us. Big baseball fan. He was there throwing out the first pitch last night. He's going to sit in with me for the first half hour of the 11 o'clock, then John Mozeliak, and then we will talk to Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, at 11:45.
Man, that's a great lineup. We'll look forward to it. Thanks, Tom.
All right, buddy.
Tom Ackerman, Sports on a Sunday Morning, 10 to 12 on KMOX.